Hey, it's Phil Palin, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 73.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Well, hi there, Jan Ilunga here with a new episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. To be more specific, this is episode 73, and I'm super pumped about this one because today we talk about branding. Because even though you're a musician and you should focus on your music, on performing, getting gigs, you should also focus on the business side of your career. And having a solid brand definitely has an impact on your music career. So that's why I wanted to bring on the show a good friend of mine who's gonna tell us more about branding. He's gonna share some tips. He usually works with entrepreneurs, actors, and I'm talking about Hollywood actors, creative professionals. So it's perfect for this episode. Like always, you find the links to everything my guest and I talk about in this episode at thejazzspotlight.com/episode73. Here is Branding for Musicians with Phil Palin. Have fun. Hey everybody, I hope you have your pen and paper ready or you've opened your digital notebook because there's going to be so much value in this episode and I'm super excited about welcoming on the Jazz Spotlight podcast a good friend of mine who I got to know recently online and I've become a huge fan of his, and I asked him if he wanted to be here to talk about branding for musicians. And he said, are you kidding me? Of course. And I'm super excited to have him on the show. He's a social media marketing and branding strategist. Some of his clients have been TV personalities, public figures, entrepreneurs. And he's also the author of the book, Shut Up and Tweet. And I'm super excited to welcome on the show, Phil Palin. Hey, Phil, how's your day going?
Hey, it's good. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Man, I'm so happy. And you know, this is our second interview because I interviewed you for my new podcast, the 360 Entrepreneur Podcast. And I'm super excited. I hope you're going to have a great time, same as you did on the last interview.
I'm sure I will.
Awesome. Okay, let's start always with the drill. Let's start with a short intro. I mentioned a little bit of what you do. Obviously, there is much more information at philpalin.com. People can find you on Twitter at philpalin. You're, as I said, you're a social media and branding strategist based in Hollywood. You're an author. You do so many great things. But how would you describe yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, so I do two things within my role as a brand strategist. I'm focused on achieving two things: helping clients build a brand. So, what does that look like? You know, essentially, you know, building the online presence for who exactly you are and how you want to communicate that to people. So, everything from your website, logos, brand positioning, right? How do we position mm-hmm. your brand to be something that you love and something other people need? So helping you position the brand, or I make the analogy to real estate, it's like building the house. First, we have to build the house before we sell it. Once the house is built, looks fantastic, and is ready to go to market, then we come up with the best strategy to promote your brand and get you in front of the faces that ultimately are going to help you achieve your goals, whether it's to make more money, you know, become, you know, gain exposure, become famous. Some people come to me with the goal, you know, publish a book, increase sales. These are all the kinds of goals. So we build a strategy. So it's building your brand and then promoting it using intelligent social media strategy, not just existing on social media, which so many other people do.
Okay, Phil. So you said about the importance of, you know, of the social media aspect of the brand. We're going to talk about that later on in this episode. And I want to mention to the listeners that, you know, many of your clients have appeared on TV shows like Shark Tank, X Factor as well, Rising Star, Project Runaway, The Doctors, and many other programs. And I know that even though you work with TV personality entrepreneurs, you also work and look at the branding of musicians. So obviously this is a music business podcast and you are a perfect guest for being here and talking about branding. So the first question I have for you is in terms of branding is, if some of the listeners want to start out, they want to start building their brand, what do you think are the first steps they should take?
Yeah, it's a really important thing to consider as you're building your brand, not just musicians, but for any industry. Mm-hmm. My work is, I forgot to mention, my work is specific to personal branding. I really don't do a whole lot of corporate work. Mm-hmm. And the ironic part is because of that, companies are attracted to me and go, wow, this guy, you know, does some cool work. He works with some cool people. And for me, it's constantly crafting a brand that will grab people's attention, or better yet, start a conversation, mm-hmm. or be so memorable that you stand out from the crowd. My kind of tagline or mantra or saying is, you know, rise above the noise, which is so many people now with, you know, I won't get too technical, but the democratization of media means now everyone can be a podcaster, everyone can be a musician, everyone can, you know, be essentially compete with the experts mm-hmm. now, right? And so what you have to do is you have to craft a brand that's going to stand out from all of those other people, right? And, mm-hmm. and one of the most important considerations is the look and feel of your brand, particularly in creative industries like music, entertainment. The competition is really stiff. There's a lot of people who want to get noticed within this space, regardless of what genre or what medium you're working in. So you need to make sure that from the moment you start, of course, branding is always evolving, but you want to make sure from the moment you start that you don't look amateur, and mm-hmm. your visuals are key to reinforce that.
Okay, so the focus should be on the presentation, on the visual, on the website, on everything that is related to your band or to you as an artist, as Phil has just told us. And in terms of websites, which kind of are the online headquarters for any creative professional, any musician, what branding tips do you have?
Well, you have to kind of follow, you know, you have to kind of follow a process. There's a lot of different steps and elements you have to juggle and create so that you can promote yourself properly. So over the years of doing this, I've developed a specific process that I encourage my clients to follow. So where do you start? Well, you have to position your brand. You have to know what, so for a musician, you have to know what gap are you filling? What need are you filling, right? Like a business. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to go compete in a space that is so crowded and full and not bring anything new to the table, then, you know, then the odds are against you from the beginning, and you don't want that. You want to be able to make sure that what you're offering is something in need. It's not quite as literal or tangible as it would be for other industries, but it's all about creative positioning, right? Mm-hmm. Really bring something new and fresh to the table and reinforce that through the brand that you're positioning. So once you've positioned it, you need really great photos. That's before you need a website, before you need a logo. You've got to decide, how do I want to photograph myself, you know, so that your what you're trying to sell is reinforced by the imagery that represents you, mm-hmm. right? Especially in music, you are the product, right? We're not selling a product. We might be selling assets. We might be selling, you know, an album or tracks. But at the end of the day, it's it all comes back to you. You are the product. So you have to photograph that in a really cool, trendy, noticeable, memorable way so that you stand out. So I would position your brand. Then we would get you photographed. Then we would figure out what other creative assets we need to showcase your brand, logos, websites, social media profile design, mm-hmm. right? We're just crafting the first impression. That's all we're doing. We're just crafting every marketing element, every you know, medium we have out there that essentially people are going to consume when they look to find you. And we want to have control over all of those things and make sure there's continuity, consistency between all of them. But that's typically the branding order I would follow. You build the house, then you promote it, not the other way around.
And you put emphasis on the visual, on the pictures, and obviously everyone is different, so every listener can be, you know, at a very different point in their career. They want to present themselves in a different way. But I wanted to ask if you have some advice in terms of the pictures. So what types of pictures you think, you know, could work well to embody, you know, what people want to express with their brand? Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah. I mean, people... it's probably not the case with musicians, but some people get a little weirded out when I tell them, like, photos are such an essential part of your branding, especially if it's someone who doesn't want to be in front of the camera. That's what I mean with musicians. That kind of comes with the territory. So I shouldn't have as much of a challenge convincing your audience, you know, that they have to be photographed. It's a huge part of this. But I would, you know, an idea is great, but an idea is always so much better when paired with research. I say that a lot. Because you've got the internet at your fingertips to start doing research, right? That's a beautiful thing is that, you know, all of this stuff is online mm-hmm. for us to consume. Let's go look at, you know, I'm interested in three distinct audiences, groups of people, competitors, like brands, and brand heroes. And I talk about this more in the book and I define exactly who they are mm-hmm. for your specific brand. I have a whole section for, you know, workbooks, areas where you can kind of develop your thoughts based around my strategies. But if you concern yourself and do some research on who your like brands are, people like you, but that aren't necessarily competing or a threat to your business, your like brands, your competitors, right? What are they doing right? More importantly, what are they doing wrong? And everyone has competitors. If you think you don't have competitors, then you're out to lunch. You need to do a bit more research. and then, you know, your brand heroes are the people who are doing what you do, but a few steps above you. Maybe they have a few years on you in terms of when they got started. You want to, you know, pop stars or stars within the genre that you're producing music. Even if it's jazz music, you know, mm-hmm. like they're still... You know, it might the branding around jazz is not quite as like, you know, visual. It's not quite as like, you know, catchy or controversial, but still there are leaders in that space. So you need to look and see what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? Go look at their websites. Go look at their social media profiles. What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? Really, that's all you need to do is you need to put in a few hours of research and start to... You don't want to copy anyone. That's really important. Don't blatantly rip anyone off. That's not in your best interest, or especially the people who find, you know, people who do, you know, that you're ripping off, they find out it's not going to be good. But you want to be strongly inspired by what other people are doing right. Merge all of those ideas into one and you will have something original that's going to work really well for you. But in order to do that, you've got to do the research.
And, you know, guys, if you listen to the latest episode with Carlos Castillo, where we talked about musicpreneurship, so about the fact that even though you are a musician, you should also think like an entrepreneur. I think that what Phil is talking about is really resonating with some of the things Carlo has said. And Phil, you talked about three different types of audiences you focus on. And I think it's a great advice that everyone should spend time doing some research, researching their competitors, people there they admire, and the branding heroes. So even if you're a musician, it's still good to look for those three types of people to follow and to try to, you know, take some takeaways out of what they're doing right, or more importantly, what they're doing wrong. And Phil, let's talk for a moment about the website before we start to talk about social media. What branding tips do you have related to the website? I mean, obviously, I know that the brand should resonate on the website as well as on social media. But for the website specifically, do you have any branding tips for musicians?
Yeah, I think musicians would benefit from some more specific advice that I can give you. Of course, we know we need to see and gather and understand what the brand is all about. But how do you do that, right? Mm-hmm. There are some specific strategies you can implement on your website that will really pay off if you put the time and effort into it. Don't bite off more than you can chew, in the way that don't try and build this big mega website that has everything, you know, and more. You really want to focus. And I would keep your website having the fewest number of pages possible. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is you want to keep it, you know, to just a handful of pages, maybe 5 pages, instead of having 30 pages on your website that send people in all different directions. The more pages you have, the more control you give up to the user, who will ultimately decide what pages they're going to look at and which pages they're not going to look at. You're naive to think someone's going to go to your website, even if they're really interested in you, and they're going to visit every single page. It's not going to happen, especially if you have a zillion, you know, different pages. So I would focus. Keep it something along the lines of a homepage, about, so your bio, photos, anything that, you know, tells us more about you. Your work. So it could be a media gallery, it could be a music gallery, it could be information about your latest album that's dropped. You know, a blog is really great if you want to, you know, start to show your expertise in a particular field, or share, you know, press or, you know, a concert schedule. Mm-hmm. And then a contact page so people can get in touch with you. Typically about is first on your navigation, and contact is last. And you want to keep it in that order. It's kind of like, you know, we stay within parameters when we communicate the you know, whatever language we speak. And respecting that kind of existing structure on web is the same way. You want to stay within the respected structure, which is about is first, contact is last. You get to, you know, create the pages within that. But I really encourage you to keep it short and concise, and consolidate when possible. If you only have 5 pages, there's a much better chance that people are going to go to every page on your website.
I love it. So to really avoid to create too much information overload, and like you said, to avoid giving away that much control, that navigation power.
Exactly. And you know what? It can actually work against you. Sometimes it's hard. When we are the product, we are the brand, we are what's being sold. You have to look at yourself very objectively. Many people have a hard time doing that, and that's why you hire someone like me to come in and offer an objective perspective. I will never do anything that will hurt your feelings, but it's my job to be honest so that we can position you to be effectively marketed and sold, right? I will give you advice that will help you get to that point. And so if you have so much information on your website, then you almost look self-obsessed. You almost look like, you know, you think you're so important that I need to read about what your, you know, favorite activities were in primary school. No one cares. Mm-hmm. There's so much information you might think is vital to telling your story that really isn't. So you have to be responsible in curating and sharing what is essential to your brand in the most concise way possible, because people don't have time to read everything nowadays. We're going to go, we're going to skim, we're going to look at some pretty pictures, and it's your job to make sure we leave with what we need to leave with, you know, in a very short period of time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that it's something that sometimes we can really see it easily on websites of people, like you said, that they really try to put everything out there, especially in the bio page. There might be this bio that it's super long. There are things, you know, that are not really related to your career or that don't really, you know, make a difference in terms of potential gigs. For example, if I'm a promoter checking your website, I don't really care if you have been playing guitar since you were 3. And then when you were 7, you switched to the trumpet. And when you were 11, you switched to the drums. That doesn't really matter to me. Or what do you say, Phil?
Yeah, I agree. 1,000,000%.
and let's talk for a second about social media. I mentioned your book in the beginning, Shut Up and Tweet. So obviously you're a big Twitter fan. And maybe we can start from Twitter, actually. So do you have any tips in terms of the Twitter presentation? So the profile picture, the header picture, and maybe also the bio?
Yeah, there's a lot of elements there that you just mentioned that are really, really important when it comes to crafting that first impression. So your cover photo needs to be really rich. It needs to look really good. And it's actually a hard space to design. It's 15 pixels by 500 pixels high. So it's very wide. So when you go and get photos done, my best advice is that you instruct a photographer to give you lots of landscape photos. Mm-hmm. Portrait photos are becoming less and less useful on the web. Unless you're printing them out and handing them out in an audition as a headshot, or you know, you're putting it next to the text on your about page, they're really not that useful. You need really nice landscape photos where you're left and right justified so that we have room for text or room for display pictures, as with Facebook and Twitter, you know, where it shows your square display photo or profile photo over on the left-hand side. You want to make sure that you've got some beautiful landscape photos or something that reinforces the brand for that header photo. You also want to spend time on your bio. Your bio is one of the most valuable pieces of real estate, social or digital real estate, I should say, on the web, because that's what people read before they decide if they're going to follow you or not. Mm-hmm. So I have a very specific formula that I suggest for people writing their bios. I think the first sentence should tell us who you are and why anyone should care. This is why you have to have a strong sense of your brand, because you need to be able to communicate who you are and why anyone should care in one sentence, in just one sentence, mm-hmm. right? So that's your first sentence. Your second sentence, in my opinion, on Twitter, your Twitter bio, should give me some sense of your personality, because it doesn't come out as obvious if I'm not interacting with you face-to-face, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm face-to-face with you or we're, you know, having a conversation, I get a sense of your personality right away. But it's not that obvious on the internet, so we have to overcompensate a little bit. So your second sentence should give me some indication of your personality. Maybe you're funny, maybe you're witty, maybe you're inspiring, maybe you're warm in terms of your personality. Let that come through with one statement and get creative. I'll give you an example. My Twitter bio is brand and social media strategist for TV personalities, professionals, and entrepreneurs. So in one sentence, you get who I am and why anyone should care. If that's not relevant to what you're doing, then you're probably not going to want to follow me. And to be honest, I don't really want you as a follower. You know, it's we're not going to have, you know, meaningful interactions.
And Phil, sorry, Phil, if I interrupt you, but I want to point out something that you just said that I think it's critical, because for me, obviously, you know, in the music industry, jazz industry, I see a lot of Twitter profiles that are, for example, jazz saxophonist. And that doesn't tell anything. But what you've just said about your own bio, you said that by reading that sentence, people get to know, you know, why should they care? And I think that's a great question that everyone should go and look at their profile picture, their Twitter bio, and think about if people get, you know, an idea if their bio looks interesting to other people. And you mentioned the first part of your bio, and guys, if you want a perfect example of what Phil has discussed so far, make sure to open your Twitter, go to check Phil Pallen, and you see there the landscape cover picture, the profile picture, and the bio. So Phil, sorry that I interrupted you, but I really wanted to stress that part.
Yeah, of course. That's the structure. The first sentence is who you are, why and what you care. The second sentence gives us some indication of your personality. And this is the harder one. Mm-hmm. So I usually give mine as an example. My second sentence in my bio is kind of like my fun little tagline. If your baby's ugly, it's my job to tell you. And people get a laugh at that. Few people are offended by it, which I think is really funny. But, 9 times out of 10, you know what it means. Essentially, my job as a brand strategist is to be honest and to give you feedback, whether your idea is good or not, and how you can, build a brand. And so people get that. But you also, in that sense, you get a sense of my personality. I have a sense of humor. That sentence encapsulates my sense of humor. And so that starts conversations every single day for me. I get about 10 tweets a day, sometimes more, from people going, wow, your bio is so funny. I loved it. I laughed. I spit out my coffee. I've heard all of these things. And that's not going to happen if your bio's really boring. Mm-hmm. So have a position. Your opinion is your personality, your perspective. Like, let that come through online, and have a stance that people will remember. Mm-hmm. And your bio, people read it every single day on social media, and that is a key factor in whether or not they're going to follow you. So use that to your advantage.
Awesome. So many great tips for Twitter. So guys, again, if you want to check out Phil's profile to take inspiration, to see what we have talked about in action, go on Twitter and then type Phil Pallon and you'll see Phil's profile. Okay, we've talked about Twitter for a moment, about the presentation of Twitter. And what do you have in terms of the relationship between the content we share on Twitter as musicians and our brand?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of, depending on how you position yourself, you want to make sure that the content you're sharing is useful for the person consuming it. Mm-hmm. So, if it's instructional, then that'll help drive people who are looking to experts to find out how to do something. It can be insight, giving us insight on the industry or insight on current events or something that's relevant to what's happening now. That shows us that you're plugged into what's happening. It can be featuring a guest or an expert, mm-hmm. Similar to what you're doing now with me, is a really smart way to produce content mm-hmm. and bring it back to your brand and interview someone who has maybe a bigger following than you, exactly. Right? Because it's brilliant. If you're to email an influencer or a celebrity or a star or a musician and say, hey, I would love to chat with you for just a few minutes on the phone. I want to tell you all about me, my career, why I'm amazing. They're not going to respond to you because they don't have time, right? These people have value associated with every minute of their day. And if they're going to allocate it to you, there has to be something in it for them. Mm-hmm. So rather than going at them with that approach saying, hey, this is all about me, instead give them the spotlight, right? Say, hey, I'm so inspired by you. I'd love a few minutes to feature you on my blog or my website or my podcast. And all of a sudden you went from delete in their inbox to top priority mm-hmm. because you're now giving them the spotlight and that's what they want. And you spend a few minutes with them, build that trust, earn that respect, have that excuse to have conversation. And then, at the end of that, spend a few minutes just having conversation. Give them the materials you need after you launch the interview or the Google Hangout or the podcast interview, and they'll promote it out to their followers. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance if they're a public figure or celebrity, they've got a significant number of followers, and they're going to put your face out to all of those people. Isn't that brilliant? Mm-hmm. That's how you need to think about this. Just be a little bit savvier than just worrying about your own self-promotion.
Amen. I think that, the last sentence is really, you really nailed it with it. And I think that especially when it comes to musicians, there's still too many artists who are just focusing on self-promoting 99% of the time, be it their latest CD, their new track, their upcoming gigs. It shouldn't be only about you guys, but it should be about building relationships and connect with others, share their content, share their news about them. If they have a new album coming out, why not spend one tweet about that? And I'm sure that that artist is gonna appreciate it, and maybe it's gonna start, you know, to connect with you, and maybe it's gonna return the favor. So we've talked about Twitter, and I want to ask you to tell the listeners a little bit more about your book, Shut Up and Tweet, because there is so much value in the book itself that we could have spent a week of the podcast talking only about the book. So can you tell them a couple of things of what they can expect if they decide to take a look at Shut Up and Tweet?
Yeah, I appreciate all the kind words. I really decided last year to come out with a book because a lot of people were asking me, oh, I heard from so-and-so, your strategies really work on Twitter. I've gone from, you know, my friend said she went from 32 followers to 32,000 followers, which has happened for a few of my clients and students in the past. So I really took inventory of what strategies I teach that have the most impact on people's social media strategies and brands. And an overwhelming number of people said to me, Phil, your Twitter strategies have changed my brand, or you know, it's helped me accomplish this and that. And so I thought, well, why wouldn't I put this into a book format? Because I'm getting to the point where I'm so busy now that I don't necessarily have time for every one individual, you know, to be able to say, hey, you know, here's my strategies. So the book was really a way for me to break it down into a science that people all over the world could consume. And that's exactly what people are doing. I take you step by step through even some of the things we've talked about today, step by step, how to grow your brand, how to position it for success, to reach your goals, and then promote your brands using a very specific strategy, using social media as the leanest and most effective way to promote your personal brand. And if you just do what I tell people to do in the book, you will have success if you do exactly as I say.
So it's really the perfect guide, and it doesn't really matter if you are starting out on Twitter today, if you have been on Twitter for years, because there is so much value there that I'm sure it's gonna rock your Twitter world. And Phil, do you have some tips in terms of what social media you have seen that have worked very well for musicians? Obviously, again, everyone is different and has different, you know, strength and weaknesses. Someone could be very visually inclined, so very good with visuals. So, for example, Instagram could be a great platform for him or her. Some other people can be maybe not that inclined. But do you have some recommendations of platform that you think have worked and still work very well for musicians and their brand?
Well, I tell people that Twitter should always be your number one social media platform. I think that it's the only social media platform right now where you can access a targeted audience for free.
Yeah.
Right? Facebook has monetized the platform, so you have to pay to promote your posts, pay to advertise. It costs a lot of money if you want to compete with the big guns. Twitter has not done that. You can build a targeted audience if you implement some smart strategy, which I teach you in chapter 6 of the book. So Twitter's number one. For musicians, obviously, SoundCloud has become a social media platform for audio for musicians. So that's really key because people use it, you know, use it as a search engine to find other artists and related, you know, music and genres. You know, Pinterest is interesting if you're dealing with visuals. Musicians maybe not as much, but again, if there's less, you know, if you come up with a creative way to use it, then there's more of a chance you'll get noticed because not everyone else is doing it. What else? I mean, trying to think, you know, Instagram is really interesting now that they've introduced a video.
Yeah.
So you can even capture moments of rehearsals or behind the scenes or new songs, ideas, and push from Instagram to Facebook or Twitter, you know, depending on where your core audience is. and start to show us behind the scenes. You know, that works really well for clients on Instagram. Vine has come out, and Vine has launched, you know, careers for a number of musicians who have, you know, really creatively positioned themselves and built an audience around that. Even though it's 7-second looped videos, there's a lot you can do with that. Comedians and musicians have had come up with some really cool stuff on Vine. We could go through every single social media platform and come up with a creative positioning for musicians. It's just a matter of what A, interests you, and B, wherever your audience is. Yeah. That's what I would suggest. And that's going to be different for every single brand.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just want to throw a couple of episodes out there. You mentioned SoundCloud. Guys, episode 4 at thejetspotlight.com/episode 4. We talked about SoundCloud in and out with Buddy Vogt, the author of the SoundCloud Bible, which, by the way, soon is going to release version 2.0. So if you're interested in getting started with SoundCloud, or if you're on SoundCloud, you want to learn some advanced tips, episode number 4. And also want to mention episode 70, where we talked about how to easily create visual content with Donna Maurice. So if you've been listening to Phil and I, and you know, you've gotten some ideas of maybe creative ways of using Instagram or Pinterest, you should definitely check episode 70 out. Also because Donna mentioned some free tools that you can use to really easily create visual content. Even if you are not a designer, you will love it. And Phil, to wrap up this episode, I want to really give you the spotlight once again and mention that soon you're going to be in Europe for about a month. So you will be coming over here from LA in May. And do you have something to say to the listeners? Because I'm sure that there are people listening from here, from Europe, and some of them may be interested in working with you or getting in touch with you while you're here in Europe.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. In the US, I'm complicated. I'm Canadian. But I live in the U.S. now, and I split my time between East and West Coast. My business is based in Santa Monica, Los Angeles, California. But I'm also now, you know, this year, finding that there's more demand for my services and expertise in Europe, particularly for brands that are looking to break into, you know, America, into the entertainment industry in the U.S., and that's really where my network and expertise lies. So I'm spending more time these days in Europe, and I'm going to be in London for the month of May and traveling within that month, hoping to do some collaborations with you, in fact.
Oh, of course.
That you and I are still working out. So what I would say to your audience is to stay updated on my website. I will list as soon as we confirm. I'll be doing a workshop series in a few locations in Europe. We're still working out those details now at the time that you and I record. But even in a few weeks, those will go from ideas to actually
taking place.
Yeah, exactly. So I would encourage your audience to just check back on my website or send me a tweet at Phil Pallen, PhilPallen. Send me a tweet letting me know you're interested, and I'll put you on our interest list, and we'll reach out to you first once we have our workshops lined up throughout Europe. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, awesome. And I really hope that we get the chance to meet in person, and I'll definitely tweet about it as well. So as Phil said, as soon as everything is confirmed, you can find more about it at philpallen.com or by following Phil on Twitter. And if you're already following me at Jazz Spotlight, then you're definitely going to see it as soon as everything is confirmed. Phil, thank you so much for being here with us and telling us more about all the great things you do and for giving out some valuable branding tips for musicians. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. We are back. Phil, if you're listening, thank you so much for your contribution to the podcast. You rock, man. Thanks again. And guys, as we said during the episode, Phil is going to be in Europe in May and at the beginning of June. And I'm definitely going to keep you posted because we're working on something, a series of workshops, and I'm going to tell you more as soon as I have more specific details, because Phil and I might be hitting your city and you would have the chance to speak to Phil and ask him questions face to face. But you can still ask him questions. He's very active on Twitter at Phil Pallen, And obviously, you can ask me a question at jazzspotlight. I'd love to hear from you. And before saying goodbye, I want to give you a sneak peek of the next episode. Next episode is going to be a solo session because I thought to myself, it has been many, many episodes, over 60 episodes since we've had a solo session. And so next episode, episode 74, is going to be you and I, and we're going to talk about something that can help you every single day. We're going to talk about productivity, and I have some very specific productivity tools for musicians that I can't wait to share with you on Thursday. And last but not least, I want to tell you more about Become Major. My friends over at Symphonic Distributions have just launched this great initiative that aims at empowering independent musicians and really push them to rise above the mainstream boundaries. So if you want to empower yourself, if you want to become part of a great initiative, a great community, go to becomemajor.com and make sure to share it on Twitter with the hashtag #BecomeMajor. It's a great initiative and I just wanted to share it with you guys. All right, thanks for listening. I'll be back with you on Thursday. Take care.